It's time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
On Monday this week, up to 20,000 households experienced a power outage in Waikato. Today, I spoke to ACT Party's Brooke Van Velden about this power outage that occurred and started by asking her what the ACT Party's reaction was to the thousands of houses that were without power in Waikato on Monday this week.
Oh, look, from our perspective, our hearts just went out to people who were really anxious with what was going on. So I take, for example, I saw in the news there was a woman who said that she was struggling to keep her newborn baby warm. And that's something that should never be happening, is that people are, you know, feeling the cold, but also not sure if they know that they're actually going to have electricity, especially in the middle of winter. So it doesn't matter from any political side. I think all politicians should be concerned about energy security and energy supply, so that we know that businesses, schools, hospitals, homes, you know, people who rely on ventilators, for example, in their own homes, know that they can actually have power and electricity, and that they don't have to go to hospital to make sure that they can actually stay alive and in good health. And I think no matter what your perspective is, this focus should really be on security of electricity for the future.
Speaking of electricity for the future, this power outage brought light to our sources of energy, such as coal and gas. Does it worry you that we are still using these sources that are harmful to the environment?
I think my concern goes to the fact that the government, a few years ago now, put in place a ban on oil and gas exploration for the future. So we do have some oil and gas that can be used now, but those energy stocks will be running out in about 7 years. And that's a huge concern because we already import coal from Indonesia for our peak electricity generation. So that's something that we're constantly using now, which is not a good source of energy. You're right, it does emit a lot. But what we're seeing is a real concern about what that would mean for the future now. So if we run out of our gas reserves and we haven't actually explored for more, does that mean that, in fact, the alternative will be that in the future we'll be importing more coal because we don't have that exploration happening in oil and gas, which is actually a better source than coal for the environment, when we don't actually have an alternative already in New Zealand? So the government has been consistently focused on making sure that we have 100% renewable electricity supply. But our focus really should be on making sure that we have supply for the future without making sure that we're going through a lot of these blackouts.
While we now know that there was, in fact, another hydro plant that could have been used to prevent the lights from going out in Waikato, should this incident also start the conversation of reducing our use of electricity or better distributing it?
I think we're going through a phase where more people will probably be using electricity. I mean, we use it for everything. You know, you use it to charge your laptops, your phones, all the way through to schools and hospitals. But we're also being asked from the government to take up more use of things like electric vehicles. So if more cars go onto the grid, we'll ultimately be using even more electricity for that. I think there is a point that people should actually be very conscious of the electricity use that they are using. But I think what the real issue is that we need to be making sure that we have security of supply so that we don't have to end up in a situation where the electricity suppliers have too many people wanting electricity and not enough to give them. So they have to end up taking sections of the country and having rolling blackouts. And what that means is I think that we do need to be making sure that we do have oil and gas, because we do not want to end up being in a situation where, you know, we don't actually have enough electricity generation. So we have to rely on importing coal in the future. I think that is not a good future for New Zealand. But ultimately, when we asked a question in Parliament last week of the Minister, well, what are you going to do to ensure our electricity supply? They said, we're relying on the NZ Battery Project. Now, that project isn't even underway yet, and we don't know when it will be, and it could be decades in the making, and that's to do with more hydropower. Now, I think we need to be making sure that we have security of supply for this next decade, and that is by allowing oil and gas exploration.
Brooke and I then moved on to talk about the recently proposed hate speech laws against incitement, hatred and discrimination. Friday last week, the ACT Party made a submission on the government's proposed hate speech laws. Could you briefly explain the submission?
Yes, so we did put in place our submission, and this happens quite a lot in Parliament where the government asks for people to submit their thoughts and members of the public can do so as well. And so as a party, we put down our thoughts. And ultimately, we want to live in a society where everybody is able to openly discuss and debate ideas. Now, the government has identified a problem, which is, you know, that some people say things that they deem to be harmful. But identifying a problem is very different from actually showing that legislation would solve that problem. So we are asking from the government more information on, well, how would this law actually lead to less harm and more social cohesion? Is there actually any evidence from overseas that they could point to that shows that putting in place a hate speech law would actually lessen harm in society? And I don't think there is.
So,
and
do you
that's
think
where we have to be careful?
Do you think that there is a way of protecting free speech and addressing hate speech at the same time?
I think we need to be very clear about asking, well, what are people defining as hate speech? And we do want people to live in a society where people do feel safe, but ultimately we also want to live in a society where people are freely able to express their thoughts. And with this proposed hate speech law, it asks to impose that speech that is abusive, threatening, or incites hostility could be prosecuted. Now, if you compare that to something like burglary, say, when somebody burgles a home, they know on the fact that they're guilty, if they entered the home and if they stole something, these are things that can be used as evidence and proved in court. With these hate speech laws, what you're asking is that for somebody to not know if they're guilty of that offence until the sentence comes down that they're guilty, because it's so much more subjective. People might not necessarily know when they're saying something that they're actually guilty of an offence, because it's so subjective that somebody has taken that what they've said is abusive or threatening, rather than there being actually any clear threshold for what somebody is saying. And so we believe in a bit of personal responsibility, but also being able to say to people, well, what you said there is completely wrong and we disagree with you, and having a debate about ideas, rather than making it feel like people are being suppressed by a law, which I believe would actually lead to less social cohesion.
That was ACT's Brooke Van Velden talking about the lights going out in Waikato on Monday this week and the recently proposed hate speech laws.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.